Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me, as usual, is Jody Havnot.
Hello.
And Andrew Kiss.
Hi, everyone. Happy Easter. Hope your Christmas dreams have come true.
I never get tired of what I was really excited about this one.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, it's good, too. Hey, thank you guys for listening to the last show. It was a huge success. As usual, we appreciate your listenership. And let's see. This episode is long because Gene Simmons did an interview with Chris Jericho. Now, Paul Stanley did an interview with Chris Jericho, and we reviewed it because Chris Jericho is amazing and he asked good questions. So we thought, you know what? Let's do the Gene Simmons one. It's going to be a two-parter because the damn interview is about an hour and a half long, which was too long for us to talk about in one of our little tiny episodes. So before we get started, a couple of things. One...
That's the number one.
I want to remind you guys to go to iTunes and leave a review, please. That would be awesome. And subscribe to the show. If this is your first time listening, what we do is every week we talk about what's going on in the world of KISS. And we break it down and have as much fun as we can in a short amount of time. We try not to keep you too long. And this week we're doing the Chris Jericho, Gene Simmons interview. And I guess we should just get started. I wanted to say first that I thought it was really cool when he was talking about walking around Gene's house. And he said that, you know, he opened up this thing and there was like a bunch of purple hearts. Did you guys hear that part?
Yeah.
He said that there were a bunch of purple hearts and he was explaining that soldiers have been sending them to Gene. Basically saying, you know, KISS got me through this, you know, the war or whatever they were involved in. But he said there were so many, he couldn't hold them all in one hand. And I was like, wow, man, that's like a major honor, you know, that these kids get these purple hearts and they're sending them to Gene Simmons. And he said, and Chris Jericho said, you know, there were so many of them. Just wow. It just blew my mind. You know, God, I mean, if I got a purple heart, I'm keeping that bitch. But... you know, they felt so honored. You know, they felt like Gene needed to know. You know what I'm saying?
That's pretty hardcore, man. That's some devotion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then for me, the next part that I thought was really cool was when he was describing going into Gene's, you know, his office, which basically called the KISS Museum.
Yeah,
which
the museum.
We've all seen it. But right after that, he started talking about, hey, how old's your kids? And he said, oh, well, my kids are this age and this age. And he said Gene just was walking around with a bag, pulling stuff off the shelves and filling up bags for the kids.
Right.
Damn, he needs to do that for us.
Yeah, take some free Gene swag. Mm-hmm. He needs to get on Skype with us already. You know, what's he waiting for?
Yeah, I hear you.
I got just as many questions as Jericho and probably better ones. Just saying.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'm going to throw on the gauntlet, man. You guys see me in a cage match. Watch out.
Jericho will put the lion tamer on you, his finishing move.
I've never seen it, but it don't sound too good.
Yeah. He had two of them. The lion tamer was when he was in the WCW, and then it became the walls of Jericho when he went into the WWE.
Oh, snap.
Oh, snap. So it basically bends you in half.
Wow. Did it seem like to you guys that... like his Paul interview was more excited about, so he had better questions, and it was a better interview, I think.
Yeah, I agree. It did.
I just like Paul better. I don't know.
Although I can tell you that he was happy to be there with Gene.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, you can tell, but it definitely seemed a little drier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene talked about how he's, you know, the most perfect example of the American dream. You know, he came to the U.S. and he did everything that he could, yeah, just like you say. You know, and we've heard this stuff before.
It's like Andrew was saying in that message while we were all listening to it. He's falling asleep over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Gene, give us something good.
Well, right. I think Gene's a bit more black and white and Paul is very gray. So Paul... talks more. Well, I don't want to say because Gene can get emotional too, but I feel Paul is more emotional all the time, whereas Gene is almost very black and white when it comes to his questions and answers.
Right.
Paul, there's an air of mystery, or not mystery, but just an air of you can just sort of take it either way when you listen to his answers.
Right. It's almost like the same way when they both write songs. Like, Paul has all the heart, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Gene's kind of like, mechanical in a way.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's also the one thing about Paul interviews, especially now, is you're never really sure what you're going to get. Whereas with Gene, you're always sure there's going to be certain things. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance,
same old shit.
Right, yeah. I think he said invariably, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big word,
like,
or whatever.
Big
like gymnasium.
Dude, he even broke out the old joke from Exposed about the frog on...
About the frog with the bump on his ass.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Gene.
Yeah.
Throw us something new.
Yeah, and we love Gene, man. He's the man. Mm-hmm. But it was like, we've heard this before. And it was almost like, obviously he knows who Chris Jericho is. You don't just invite somebody to your house like that. But... Yeah. It's like, it was almost like he felt like he was given his first interview. I don't know.
Maybe that's just more to, not saying that Paul isn't professional, but it's maybe more to how Gene feels he should do interviews, since he's always trying to expand, to the greatest market he can. So he's just in that mindset where he's assumed, like, even though there is a lot of diehard fans listening to this interview, there also could be a lot of new people who... They've obviously heard of Kiss, but they haven't really, really heard of Gene's mannerisms. So I think maybe he's just expanding to, like, that's what he does for every interview. He tells the same thing because that's what he's most comfortable with. And then that's since it's the same every time, he's expanding to people who may not have heard what he was saying before.
Right. Yeah, and Jericho has a huge audience.
Yeah, and that was a fucked up sentence because still
it's one of those ones you're like thinking about it as you're speaking it.
Like, and I'm sure Chris Jericho has a huge following.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
at the beginning of his show, it says he's had over 16 million downloads. So yeah, he's doing pretty well.
So yeah, I guess you're right. There's going to be a lot of people listening to this interview that have never really paid in. Maybe not only not listened to any interviews with Gene, but maybe never even listened to Kiss, because there's a lot of wrestling fans that listen to Jericho because of his background, or Fozzy fans, and so Gene's got to do the song and dance, and
right.
And that's how it works. One of the other things that I thought was really interesting was when they started talking about Japan. They were going back and forth on Japan, and that was pretty cool. And then, Gene gets sincere, he really can get sincere,
Mm-hmm.
Where he's talking about how you honor the people of other countries when you go there and you try to speak their language and you eat their food no matter how weird it might seem. It was funny, too, because when he was talking about America, he was like, they all, in other countries, they want a hamburger, they want pizza, they want a chicken McNugget or whatever. He's like, people don't just go into a restaurant and go, I really want frog's legs.
Yeah, there's all these frogs walking around with crutches and shit.
With crutches. Yeah, that was pretty funny.
That was funny.
And then,
How he was like saying, well, do you know the four faces, on Mount Rushmore? But no, you do know the four faces of Kiss, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and all these examples, and he's totally right.
Mm-hmm.
I also like how he was made the point that, like, all these classic bands would never have made it on, like, American Idol or, his whole rock. He defended his Rock Is Dead.
Right. That was a big deal.
Yeah. And he's right, though, dude. When put in that perspective, like, when you think about it, what's become of music, dude, Dylan would have never made it today. Never.
Right. When the names that he named, Mick Jagger, Madonna, Neil Young, Jimi Hendrix, Willie Nelson, he's like, these people would not have made it on these shows.
He even mentioned himself.
Yeah, himself. He was like, we're not great singers, it's...
But they're unique.
Right, yeah.
Like, they're not classically trained singers, but they have their own unique... sound.
I think that he hit the nail on the head when he told him, like, look, these people from American Idol and The Voice should be doing Broadway. They're not artists.
Mm-hmm.
They're singers.
Right.
That's it. It's a step above karaoke.
Right. They're not going to, most of them are not going to write their own songs.
No.
You know, I think the first maybe couple of American Idol winners, you know, I can tell you who the first one was. I can't tell you who the second one was.
Who was the first one?
But Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, really?
She was the first one?
She was the first one.
She's still around, though, I think.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she's at least, you know, kept it going all this time, but I don't know. I couldn't tell you who two or three was. but the
one
point
of them
is,
was Ruben Studdard.
I remember maybe that was two.
The one I think about the most was the dude who played with Kiss, just because I saw that. I actually saw that clip. Yeah.
Yeah, Adam Lambert and the guy that won the next year played with Kiss.
Really? I didn't see that.
No, Adam Lambert played with Judas Priest.
No, he played with Kiss.
Well, who played with... Oh, this is going to bug me. Welcome to the American Idol podcast.
Yeah, from three dudes. I've never actually watched American Idol in my life. I just saw that Kiss clip because it had Kiss in it.
And then
I'm like super anti those kind of shows.
They played just this past year again. And that's where I think Gene claims that, Adam Lambert sang with Queen as well, I believe. Mm-hmm. And Gene claims that he went up to the guys in Queen and was like, that's the guy you need to get in your band. And he claims that that's how it happened.
That dude's in Queen?
He's in Queen.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he is the singer in Queen.
That's crazy.
So anyway, okay, back on. I mean, that's still on topic, but whatever.
Some American Idol dudes trying to fill the shoes of fucking Freddie Mercury.
Well, I don't know if he's trying to fill the shoes or if he's trying to just, you know,
they picked him because he was super like
gay.
Yeah,
that could be it. You know, but look. The truth is the guy's got a powerful voice. I have never gone online to listen to him in Queen, you know.
I'm gonna check that shit out when we get out of here.
I don't think I'm gonna be a hater. I'm gonna because it'd be like the people with Tommy, you know.
I'm just saying, like, you know? Freddie Mercury though is one of those iconic dudes.
Name one frontman better than Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, no,
Paul Stanley, dude, all day.
Yeah, really? Paul Stanley. Yeah, to me. Mercury did, Paul Stanley did in
7 with a guitar.
With a guitar.
I guess that besides Paul Stanley and Rob Halford,
yeah,
nobody's better than Freddie Mercury.
Freddie Mercury is amazing. But there's also one of the other stories I thought was interesting was how Gene was talking about how huge they are in Japan, that like in the 7-Eleven there's like Kiss food.
Yeah, the Kiss, what was dumplings? It? Dumplings, yeah.
He said it's like a burger.
Sounds disgusting, man. No,
it doesn't either. Sound good at all. But,
sounds like a Jamaican beef patty. Those are good.
And Gene was talking about at one point how, I think he said he was in Japan. He had a $52 hamburger.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he said it was smaller than a regular. I was just like, damn. Now in Japan, Kobe beef is like this big deal. I don't know if you guys have ever had Kobe beef, but it is cows that are raised on beer and they're hand massaged every day.
Are they really?
Yeah, and there was joke.
What do you do for a living? Oh, dude, I just massage this cow, man.
Yeah. There's this movie with Tom Selleck about how he goes to Japan to play baseball, and he's eating a steak, and he goes, man, this is the best steak I ever had. And the girl explains to him what it is, and he said, maybe I should get a job here as a cow. But I'm pumped.
Until butcher day.
Yeah.
That's kind of a bad day.
Yeah. You're
too drunk to care.
One of the other things that I know I keep
feel
saying that
so
a lot.
Loose and shit. Fuck it. Go
ahead. Fuck it. Bring it out. Let's just cut him up.
Leatherface steps up with his fucking sledgehammer. Whop! Sorry, guys. Okay. Horror movie fan.
I thought that when Gene was describing being at that concert, and he also mentioned that Paul was there before they were Kiss, you know?
Yeah, before they knew each other.
Yeah. Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck, Rod Stewart, Alvin Lee on stage together.
Yeah.
You know, And I was like, man, that must have been amazing.
Yeah, well, back then they weren't even legends yet, you know?
Yeah, so it would just like be like local, a show.
Yeah, just a show.
Yeah.
It's a trip.
Remember, you could see them for a nickel.
The vaudeville shit he started doing.
Yeah, he started doing all those one-liners.
Funny. Brunch. Right. Gene's a funny guy, man.
He is.
His tone of voice just sometimes really makes you want to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You listen to his audiobook.
Books on tape. I got that instead of Sounds of the Ocean. So.
Right. I usually just turn on a baseball game. I'm asleep in 10 minutes.
Really?
Or Canadian Parliament is out like a light.
Right.
But that was a political joke.
Oh, don't get political, man. It's a rock and roll show.
Yeah.
Keep your politics at home, motherfucker.
Hey, and Andrew, I know this is off subject, sort of. Well, yeah, but have you been spocking your Canadian $5 bills?
No, I haven't.
Have you heard about
it? Yeah, I've seen that before, yeah.
Spocking?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, apparently the whoever's on the Canadian $5 bill, if you paint the hair just right, it looks like
Spock. It looks like Spock, yeah.
And everybody, yeah, Leonard Nimoy.
Damn.
And apparently the Canadian Parliament has been asking people to stop doing.
Hey, how many times have you seen like somebody that's drawn like Kiss on like a dollar bill?
I get them every once in a while.
Me too, man. It's like, wow, mm-hmm. cool. I usually try to keep those.
The ones that I get the most are usually the little bubble that somebody stamps on the bill next to George Washington, and it says, "I grew hemp."
Yeah, I've seen that one a couple of times.
Yeah, those are really good. Right now, somebody's sitting in their car going, "This has nothing to do with this."
Hey, kiss on a dollar bill.
Kiss on a dollar bill.
Yeah, kiss money. What?
Kiss your president.
Yeah. They should just sell something that you just carry around.
You know, they made those kiss bucks in the 70s where you could, like, buy this kiss money. And then you use it to get merch at the shows.
I honestly have never heard of this.
It's in Kistory 2 in the book. I don't know. Maybe it didn't come out, but it was definitely a prototype. You know how...
Wait, so why don't you just use regular money?
I guess Kiss probably, you know, took a cut of it, you know?
They padded in money.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, Kiss bucks.
That's actually a good idea, yeah.
You would think they'd get you a better deal at the merch stand, yeah. You know, but knowing
Kiss,
maybe
not. Well, it's the reason why Gene's a millionaire, and we're not.
Yes. Yet. We're not yet.
Yes. Yet.
Yes. I have faith in you, Andrew.
Oh, putting your faith in the wrong person. Probably blow it on beer and Doritos.
But red Doritos or blue Doritos?
Red.
Okay.
So Doritos are in Canada.
Yes, they are.
Awesome.
We have ketchup Doritos now, which are pretty badass.
Ketchup Doritos?
We have ketchup chips.
I've had those before.
No, I've had ketchup chips before.
Tastes like French fries to me.
Yeah, same thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, but check this out. Here in Atlanta, when I first moved here, we had 7-Elevens, and we don't have them anymore. And Cassius Morris was just bragging about how he was going to get a Slurpee. Yeah. And I was so pissed off.
You don't got 7-Eleven no more?
No!
Dude, we still got them.
Yeah, we have St. Louis. Like 20 minutes from my house.
Yeah, I was
big
so
gulp.
Yeah, man. When I was a kid,
then
I used to
get Slurpee. Oh, wait, no, that's not a good
What?
So you get a big gulp and then get a Slurpee, but then I realized that.
Save that shit for the bus station, buddy.
Oh, my God. Okay, but a bump. Let's keep moving forward. I'm going to let Jody edit this one.
Right.
Oh, God. I'm done for.
Okay. Let's see. What else you guys want to talk about?
Well.
Oh, he said he said Bon Scott would never make it on American Idol. It's a true statement.
Yeah, or Brian Johnson, he said.
Yeah.
It's 100% true. Today, you got to sing like, I don't want to be politically incorrect, but they want everybody to sing like an old black lady from a choir. Whether you're a white man, black man, they want you to sound like an old black lady. And you got to be pretty. And, like, you know, Bon Scott wasn't pretty. Brian Johnson surely isn't pretty. You know what
I mean? Yes. No, you're correct.
Can't have any Rocky Dennis.
Rocky Dennis.
But everybody does have to have that kind of Christina Aguilera. Hey.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. And you can chalk up the death of any kind of good music almost.
But listen, kind of bullshit. You guys know, to the last American Idol, the guy that sang with Kiss was a Kiss fan.
Really?
Yeah. After,
did he sing like an old black lady?
No, he didn't at all.
Really?
The only time I like those vocals is at the Great Gig in the Sky. Is that the one where she say? Which one is that? I haven't listened to Dark Side of the Moon in a while.
Not pretty a Floyd sure fan, Frankie, dude. So. Honestly.
Oh, I like those vocals on that.
You know, when I was a kid, I really tried hard to like Pink Floyd because, you know, all of us stoner kids wanted to like stoner music.
Right.
I couldn't get into it.
No, I'm not too big of a fan.
I mean, I like some songs. I don't think they suck or anything. It's just not my bag.
Nah.
A little too mellow for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I listened to The Dark Side of the Moon and I liked The Wall, but, you know, those are the ones that, you know, everybody likes, so right. I don't
like Mushroom here.
I like Gilmore, you know. I think he's a great guitar player with a great style, but it's just I can't handle like a whole album worth of ballads.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't do it. I'm a rock and roll guy. I want, you know, I like my shit fast and aggressive.
Right, I feel the same way. I want rock and roll.
Yeah, fifth gear pinned, as you say, Joe.
Yes, fifth gear.
I wait doing 69. I like that.
Hit the highway.
We're doing 69.
Stop off and get some Bosco.
That is like the 12th straight episode that we've
done. I'm stuck on that, man. It's hilarious.
Bosco.
Ken Mills is even doing it now.
Is he really?
He did it on the latest Strange Ways.
Sweet. Also, now... I don't have the date in front of me. Do you guys know the date? Detroit Rock City is coming out.
Woo!
On Blu-ray.
Yeah. I don't even care unless it has some kind of extras. I mean...
Well, that's what I'm interested in. I went and looked today, and I didn't see it for sale. So it's probably this week sometime, maybe Tuesday. I think most things drop on Tuesday.
Right, yeah.
But you guys out there, you know, if you... hey, get it. Blu-ray. Detroit Rock City. That's going to rock. City.
Get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
I can't see it being any better than the regular DVD. I mean, maybe it'd be a little bit clearer or whatever. I don't care about that.
Man, that original DVD that they put out had so much extra stuff on it.
Yeah, it's like, what do they have left for the Blu-ray? I mean, is it worth buying? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. There's got to be something on there that's going to make people go, oh, hell yes. You know, I don't know, maybe a preview for the movie that's about to come out in 2015, maybe.
Right. wasn't it you that had told me that there's some kind of, somebody's making a Cadillac movie?
Yes. I read all about it. They've got the financing for it, and now I haven't heard anything since then. So, you know, Gene.
That would be great, I think.
This summer.
Kiss comes back to Cadillac.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back to high school.
I think that it would be a really good movie. It'd be very inspirational. You know, it's all about it's a coming of age thing, just like Detroit Rock City.
The team wins, man. Kiss leaves in a helicopter. Everybody wins.
You know, they throw down the, you know, we love Cadillac, whatever.
Kiss meets the Phantom of the Cadillac High School.
Now we're talking.
Right.
Do a mixture.
Yeah, mix it with the Elder, too, so then there's all this crazy shit going on. There's this Mr. Blackwell, and he's, like, stalking the high school kids and killing them. You find out at the end that it's fucking Abner, after all.
Then they escape from the island in the Kiss copter.
Right.
See, we need to write this.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. We got a script. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a wonderful thing.
It's coming out straight to video in 2015. We're not even going to do a DVD. We're going to do a VHS, man.
Yes.
Yeah, VHS rocks.
No, Betamax even. So that no one can ever see it.
I saw this thing where they were talking about VHS and DVD, and it was like the reason why VHS was so much better is because when it got to the end of the tape, it would stop, rewind, and it, you know, if you fell asleep, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and those damn DVD songs are playing with the menu.
That's terrible.
I was like, that is a true statement.
Right.
Okay, so, oh man, I really, you know, and the other thing I'm really hoping, I've read that they're, that they, what Kiss wants to do is release the original cut of Kiss Meets the Phantom. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I was able to get a copy of it at the Mad Monster party.
When you say original cut, are you talking like the old Good Times video that we all had?
Yeah, the TV version, you know, where Ace actually sang part of Rocket Ride. And
yeah, and there's no real Kiss music except when they're playing.
Right.
Well, a couple songs, like I think Christine 16's when they're doing the makeup contest at the beginning. Was it just me, or when you guys first saw that, were you like, geez, is Kiss ever going to show up? What the fuck?
Yeah, it takes forever.
They want to, like, really invest you in these characters that are meaningless, you know, like Melissa and Sam. Who cares? Get to Kiss.
Yeah, that was basically what we all wanted.
Right.
There's a whole lot more coming, guys, next week.
Gotta keep it coming.
Nice. You always put those zingers in there. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, Andrew's on fire, yo.
Andrew is on fire. Okay, which brings me to this week's
Ask Andrew.
The question this week,
Peter Steele,
comes from
Ask Andrew.
It comes from Chris King.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris King.
Yes, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh, right on. That's Porter's neck of the woods.
Yeah. So, here we go. Ready for your question, Mr.
Yes,
Andrew. Okay. Now, they're assuming that you've seen every stage Kiss is played on, either in video or something like pictures. What is your favorite stage?
Like, it's easy to say Love Gun, but it's true. Like, it's got the big stairs and row of amps. Although I do love the tank.
Right. Imagine if you could cross those two.
That'd well, normally in previous episodes, I've gone greedy and wanted my ways and asked for, like, can I get a bit of this and a bit of that and blended in. Destroyer, it's hard to say because you can't really see much of it in pictures. It's too dark. But I really did like how, I guess, on like the stage floor, how they had Ace's crystals and like Gene's cobblestones and like very castle medieval looking.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go with Love Gun. I know that's cliche, but it's a really kick-ass stage and there's a lot going on.
Right. It is. I feel the same way. I do love the tank myself. I really wish that they would, just for one tour, bring that back. It'd be pretty
amazing. But that's such an Eric Carr thing.
Right. That's what I was going to say. People would get pissed, probably.
Yeah.
Well, actually, a lot of the tire kickers wouldn't really know the difference, too. But
yeah, but in those Kiss groups and all that on Facebook.
But also
and all
just
that.
Respect for Eric, though.
I could hear you.
That would be cool to see, though, but it'd probably be like on like on the video screen or something like that.
Maybe it would take a lot of the focus and hate off of Tommy and Eric in the makeup, and now everyone would be like, that's bullshit, they're playing the fucking tank, man.
You know, people didn't get pissed off when they had the drum riser that rose that had the big cats on the front.
Yeah, I always thought people would bitch a little bit more about that, too, but they did.
Yeah, they didn't really bitch about it. I was glad to see it, personally.
Yeah, it's gas.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
Did you ever see that one that they had? I think it was on the probably the Destroyer tour. It was just a big cat face. You ever seen that one?
Yeah. It's no, weird. That was, I think that was Dynasty.
Was it Dynasty?
Yeah,
I think it was Dynasty. That was the Peter had a.
I love the drum throne.
The round drum riser.
Yeah, the choker drum throne.
Yeah, the
drum riser. That was cool.
Yeah. What about the Hot in the Shade stage, man? That was pretty fucking cool.
That was, but, like, it's... I just think, like, Iron Maiden did it Iron Maiden did it way better, like, years earlier.
Right. Yeah. What did they call? What did they say they called the Sphinx? Wasn't it like Luther or something shit like that?
The Sphinxster?
Sphinxster. Leon?
Leon.
Leon, yeah.
I did like how Geiger just the sort of robotic element to it at the bottom was pretty cool. But
oh yeah, how
as I said, Iron Maiden did it better in my opinion earlier. So it's still a pretty badass looking stage.
Maiden had the best stage shows, didn't they?
Oh hell yeah, they still do.
I mean, Kiss kind of was slacking in the 80s, considering they were always known as the band with the big stage, and then
all through the 80s.
What's that, Andrew?
I said they had the big half a CD behind Eric during the 80s.
Yeah, half a CD, and that was Crazy Nights.
And the Bosco. They had the giant logos from Asylum.
What about the right. Animalized stage, where it was really the Unmasked stage with some prints laid over it?
Right, yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. But that's still, crazy. There's nothing like a Kiss show.
Oh, yeah. You know, have you guys seen that Alive 75 clip of the band that goes out and plays like Alive with the right stage and all that? Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was watching it, and I was just thinking to myself, geez, man, this is what Kiss went out with, and it's nothing. Just the stacks.
Yeah.
A candelabra and like three lights on each side.
One of the things that I thought was really cool is I just recently put it out there. If you go online, or it might still be on the Podcast Rock City Facebook page, but I found footage of them doing Flaming Youth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the Alive costumes, because they were using those for a good bit of time, you know, even after, I think, right after Destroyer came out. But there's two candelabras on the stage, and they're doing Flaming Youth as well. I think they only did it like twice live.
Is it that black and white footage from Jersey or whatever?
I think it is.
The lost concert footage or whatever.
Yeah,
you got that DVD. It's pretty good. It's only got like six songs though.
Yeah,
Flaming Youth is one of them though.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I dig it. I used to have this bootleg called Stoned in Paris, and they did Flaming Youth, you know, vinyl.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, sounded pretty good. Killer version of 100,000 Years was on that record too. I think I don't have it anymore.
We gotta find it.
Yeah, it's still around. You can still get it, I think. I mean, there was a lot of copies of it.
Do you guys have anything else to add?
I found a penny.
Did you pick it up?
I did, and hopefully I'll have good luck.
All day.
Just a bad
all
penny.
All day for another,
2 hours.
Less than two. Another hour and 17 minutes.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Everybody listen to this episode for the first half of the Gene Simmons Chris Jericho interview review. And next week we will finish it. Don't forget, you can send us emails at podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. and if you want to ask Andrew a question, you just send it to that same address and we will ask him. Every week we get a few and I pick the best ones.
Andrew, why are you a dick?
Yeah. Like that one I had to throw away. Anyway, you guys have a good week. Hey, happy Easter. It's not Easter when you're listening to this, but it was when we were recording it. You guys take it easy and peace.
Peace.
Greetings from Jandel, Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast wants to invite you to a rock and roll party. Alright! Join Jody Hugnot, D-Rock, and Clinton Harris for the strangest Kiss podcast known to our scientists at this time.
Pretty mystical.
Your Kiss Army bros celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder.
Kiss!
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, Facebook, iTunes, Stitcher and blah, blah, blah. Just Google it. Thank you and keep on rocking.
They are serious.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Montco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Montco Radio, where music and minds meet.
This is a really big moment.
Hi, I'm Cassius Morris, host of Kiss Podcast Creatures of the Net. Our show content includes current events of the hottest band in the land, exclusive interviews, and the trials and tribulations of being a KISS fan. You can check out our show at www.creaturesofthenet.com and on Facebook or Twitter. And if you don't know the website name by now,
well, you better f***ing let it!
We'll see you here.
Kistery Science Theater, the most civilized...
Yeah.
Oh, f***.
Oh, f***.
Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine Gene with like a washtub bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're gonna come over and do my album?
Kiss podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theater. We bust balls because we care.
Doctors define modern rock disorder as a sudden, intense drop in musical taste affecting all facets of the victim's lives and the lives of those around them. Over 20 million Americans suffer. Do you? Is your newfound love of Axe body spray, leather wristbands, and mountains of hair care products driving those close to you crazy? Has your overwhelming desire to crank Nickelback, drink a sixer of Natty Ice, and yell at girls from the back of a pickup truck seriously impaired your work or social life? The Decibel Geek Podcast offers new hope. The Decibel Geek Podcast, the only podcast proven effective for MRD. The Decibel Geek Podcast corrects the chemical imbalance created by listening to bands like Theory of a Dead Man and Three Doors Down, so that with time and your hosts Chris and Aaron's help, you can move toward recovery. MRD hurts. The Decibel Geek Podcast can help. Visit www.decibelgeek.com to begin the road to recovery.
It's time for some cheap talk. You're listening to Trick Chat.
Their mommy's all right. Their daddies are all right. They just seem a little weird. They even got their Kiss records out. This is Ken from the Podkiss. Join me, Matt, Andrew, and BJ as we talk about four great guys and three great chords. Cheap Trick. If you're a Kiss fan, chances are you've checked them out. So please check out our show, Cheap Talk with Trick Chat, available for now in the Podkiss feed.
Keep cheap tricking.
Someone, somewhere, is needing to hear from you. Someone needing to know that you care. Care enough to give the gift of Podkiss. Tell a friend about Podkiss today. Download us on iTunes, friend us on Facebook, and rock your ass out. Podkiss.
That's a picture of Joseph Kiss Sr., who came up with the vision of Kiss in 1753.
Right, that Joseph Kiss.
That's, of course, a picture of him without makeup.
That's right, Mr. Joseph Kiss Sr.
All right.